I brought my shades today, right? I can't see a thing. I don't know, has anybody got their eclipse glasses? I can't see anything out of this thing. How am I going to watch an eclipse? But I thought we'd do a little karaoke today. You ready for some karaoke? I'm trying to look at you under my glasses, sorry. So let's see if you can sing along this morning. Once upon a time, there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say. There you go. Welcome back to the 80s. Thank you. All right. So you guys, any 80s fans here today? We got a few, right? So that was, if you didn't know this, that was Bonnie Tyler's hit from 1983. And it turns out that there's a cruise ship right now sailing with Bonnie Tyler into the path of complete, you know, darkness, and she is going to sing that song while they're in the eclipse, right? So sorry you missed the boat if you're here. I think it left Baltimore. Yeah, I don't know. May have left Florida. Who knows where it left? But it's already out there to see, and she's going to sing that song while the eclipse happens. Okay. Anyway, what else are we going to do this week? Anyway, I was thinking about this, and I did come across a great story in history about another eclipse. And in 585 BC, there were two armies, the Lydians and the Medes, and they were fighting on the battlefield when a total eclipse happened on that battlefield. And when those warriors at battle, in the midst of battle, saw the sun disappear, you know what happened to them? They actually stopped fighting. They took that as a sign from God. They put down their shields, they put down their swords, and they left the battlefield. They claimed it as an act of peace. I hope that does that tomorrow. I hope the eclipse happens in our nation and peace will reign in our nation again. Because it's been rough, I know, the past couple weeks. But I'm thinking about this. There was another time when someone came, and his name was Christ, Jesus Christ, and he came, and he died on a cross. And when he died on the cross, that was the sign to us to say peace. That was God's sign to us to say peace. God was making peace between us and God, reconciling God's enemies, Romans says, and that peace was also to be extended to each other, that we're to be people of reconciliation and people of peace. So that happened. And that day when Jesus went to the cross, it was a shadow day, right? It was a dark day, and the stone rolled over that tomb and eclipsed the Son of God. But we know what happened on Sunday. We know that that eclipse of the sun could not remain, and the sun came out of the tomb, and the light shone forth again, and everything was okay, but peace had come as a result. So we are called, actually Paul's writing a letter to the Colossian church, the church in Colossae, and Paul is saying to the church, live in Christ, stay in Christ. Live your life in the light of Christ and stay there, right? Don't leave there. He's actually saying here in this section of the scripture, he's saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure you live in Christ. He's willing to go through hardship. He's willing to give up everything as long as you stay in the people of the church, stay in Christ. And so he writes this to a letter to the church in Colossae, and he writes this. We're going to start in chapter 1, verse 24, and I'm going to read through verse 7 of chapter 2. But he writes to them these words. He says, I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy and he powerfully inspires within me. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea, all for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. What Paul is saying is that his greatest hope for the church and his greatest hope for Christians and believers is that they become mature in Christ. How mature are you today in Christ? Now, I know you're physically mature, but spiritual mature. Anybody want to claim complete maturity today? Because if you do, you can come preach the sermon. Because I'm not there. I don't have complete maturity. But this word, the Greek word here is teleos, which means complete, fulfilled, or to fulfill, completely fulfill one's purpose. It doesn't mean the idea of perfection like we think of it, you know, like having the perfect image or writing the perfect paragraph grammatically correct. Thank you, Grammarly and spell checker. Right? It's not about that kind of perfection. It's about being complete in Christ. It's about being mature in Christ to bring completely to fullness, right? See, part of what Paul is saying is I want you to be fully mature and moving towards maturity in your faith. So he is willing to suffer. He is willing to do whatever it takes for that to happen. So then he goes on and he talks later in that chapter 2. He says, okay, this is what it looks like to be mature in Christ and to live in Christ, right? He says, so everyone's got to be mature, but I want everybody to live their lives in Christ, live life in Christ. And the first thing he says to them to do is to be rooted in Christ, to be rooted. We actually use that as a part of our mission statement here at our church, to be rooted in the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. That means to sink your roots and your foundation, the thing that holds you to the ground, in the grace and love of Jesus Christ. To sink those roots there. Don't put them in some other soil. Don't plant yourself in a soil somewhere else that's got rocks in it or weeds in it. Make sure you're in the fertile soil of Christ's love and grace and redemption and reconciliation, right? Stay in that place. Because part of what was happening for Colossians was that they were starting, some other people were coming into the church and saying, hey, won't you move your roots over here in this soil? Don't, you know, it's not enough to be in Christ. So they started adding some things to that. And that started to introduce some other philosophies and teachings in their understanding and their belief system. So I have a neighbor who earlier this year, they had a big poplar tree in their yard, in their backyard, a huge tree. And then you look at that tree and you go, that is a great big tree, green leaves, healthy tree. But this storm came. Have you noticed these thunderstorms keep rolling through? And they had a big storm come through earlier this year, and the wind just took, it was like a real strong wind. The tree went down. The neighbor said she ran into her basement because she could feel the ground trembling, and she knew the tree was going to fall. So she ran to her basement and watched out her window as the tree went down, fortunately not towards her house, but away from her house and towards the neighbor's house. Fortunately, missed the neighbor's house, right? But took out the neighbor's fence, took out some other trees, and they got, after the storm was over, they went out, and the thing was that the branches didn't break off, the tree trunk didn't break, all the roots just came up out of the earth. And that's why it fell. The roots were no longer holding the tree in the soil. So when they went out to inspect, say, well, you know, and the tree guys came out and they said, why did this happen? They looked at the roots and they found that the roots were diseased. That the roots had a problem. And so you would have never seen it from the tree. A tree would look great on the outside, right? But there was something wrong with the root system. They were diseased, and they got that disease from being in the soil and somehow through that soil. So that's the problem. Paul is saying, stay rooted in Christ. Stay rooted in the healthy soil of God's grace and love so that you don't get infected in your root system by some other teaching or philosophy. Now, some of the things they were teaching was one of the things that they were facing was that there were some coming around and saying, look, for you to be a mature Christian, you need to be more than just in Christ. You actually have to worship angels too. So don't just worship God, don't just be in Christ, but worship some angels on the side, right? Worship some other beings, right? And not only that, but you need to have some ecstatic visions and dreams and visions and have these grand visions. And if you have them, then we know you're getting more mature. Or if you would celebrate these particular festivals or holidays the right way, then you'd be more mature, right? And so these other philosophies and teachings started to come in that were making people question whether they were rooted in Christ, whether they had the grace and love of God at work in their lives and nourishing them. See, that's the part of it, is where are we getting our nourishment? Where our roots are planted is what determines our nourishment. Paul is saying, keep yourself rooted in Christ. Don't go anywhere else for that rooting. Then he goes on and he says, not only are you to be rooted in Christ, but to live in Christ is to keep building up your life in Christ. Keep building and growing your faith in Christ. Keep building upon it, you know, block after block, Lego after Lego. You know, keep building. Keep building this faith that you have. Don't stop doing that. Here we talk about building up and growing as disciples. And we have a discipleship pathway that we've been talking about this year in different parts of the year. And we've been talking about these areas of discipleship that we all are called to grow in. And we've talked about Christian relationship and that we need to grow in our Christian relationship. That doesn't mean with other Christians, but how do I relate to people regardless of who they are? And am I relating to them in a Christian manner, right? So how am I relating to other people? Am I being a good witness in how I relate to other people? Worship, am I growing more mature in my worship? Am I growing more spiritually mature as I learn and study God's word? Am I growing in my service? Am I stretching myself and stepping out of my comfort zone and serving someplace? Am I growing there? Am I serving growing in my witness and my ability to share my faith? Is that a place where I can see growth happening? Am I growing in my generosity and being generous with my time and my resources? In fact, I would share some good news with you. Do you all remember that whole capital campaign thing we did a while back, right? And we actually found that people were very generous this year. So I want to thank you for your generosity. We asked people to give financially to the operating ministry fund of our church, which runs everything year to year. And that ministry fund, people pledged to give over the next year $1,267,162. And that's from 323 family units that pledged that. The good news here is this is more than has ever been offered before. And two, this is the first year in 3 years we'll be able to actually increase our ministry budget. We've not been able to do that for 3 years, but because of your generosity and all of us being generous and growing in our generosity, we're able to do that. The other good news is people here at our church pledged $2,697,587 over the next 3 years to help pay off our debt. That'll enable us to pay another $600,000 in principal in addition to our mortgage payments to reduce the debt on our facility. So over the last 3 years and the next 3 years, if everything works out well and we're all, you know, able to be generous, then guess what? We will have paid $1.5 million. We have gotten ourselves $1.5 million out of debt in that 6 year, out of principal, not just mortgage payments. So that's huge. So I thank you guys for just continuing to grow and to be generous. That's a sign that our church is growing in generosity. Just one of the signs. That doesn't mean it's just financial. I know people give their time and lots of other ways, but that's a sign of growth, right? Because we're actually acting upon it. So you can look at that. The other thing I like about this pathway is, what's in the middle? We never talked about it. What's in the middle of that pathway? The cross, which represents Christ, which we're to be living in, rooted in. And then I want you to notice something else about this graphic that maybe you've never noticed before. I know we've not really talked about it. But notice that from the cross to each of the words, there's like a maze or pathway, right? Have you noticed that? And in that pathway, everybody's at a different place on that pathway. So like if you go to worship, you might be like just starting out and learning what worship is all about. And then over in service, you might be further along in learning and growing in your service. Does that make sense? So you could be at different places in your grow faith journey, in your discipleship, in different areas, and you could be growing at different rates in different areas. And so the key, hopefully, is that we're all taking steps in one or more of those areas to be growing as disciples. But I want to alert you to something, and that is this, because I know this happens to me, I'm assuming it happens to you, that you can come to church and see this, these six areas or other areas that you know of, and you can look at these things and go, wow, I'd really like to grow in one of these areas, right? How many people would like to grow in one of those areas? Anybody? Or, and it's okay if you don't want to grow. Sometimes we don't, right? We'll be honest, right? I don't want to grow. I want to stay right where I am, right? It's comfortable here, right? So you can have a desire to grow and have an aspiration to grow and not grow because there are no steps or practices or anything happening that will help you to grow. You have to actually stretch yourself, go out of those places of comfort to actually grow. Now, one of the reasons that keeps us from our, one of the things that keeps us from our aspirations or our wishes or our hopes or our dreams of growth or becoming more mature is our own selves, our own thinking. I'm going to give you an example. We have this tendency to deceive ourselves. Here's how this works. So my family, we had a chance to go to Ocean City, New Jersey last week for a couple nights. Both girls were home. We had this window of opportunity. When you went to Ocean City, New Jersey, any Ocean City, New Jersey fans here, any Jersey Coast fans, right? If you ever been there, it's great. They got a boardwalk, Johnson's popcorn, Coors Brothers ice cream, Manco and Manco pizza. I mean, you just basically gain weight while you're there. So, but anyway, because I knew I was going to eat all that stuff, I got up the first morning we were there, and about 7:30, I went out for a jog on the boardwalk, and I was going to run 5 miles on the boardwalk that morning. And so I get out, and I'm running. Let's just call it jogging. And I'm jogging along on the boardwalk, and I come across in the first mile, this on the boardwalk, there's this line of like 40 people lined up to buy donuts at this place called Brown's Restaurant, right? 40 people lined up to get donuts. And I'm running by. I'm going to look at those people. I am so good. I am exercising. They're eating donuts. You know, I'm doing the right thing, right? So I did a little comparison game, a little self-righteousness kicks in, thinking I'm doing pretty good, right? So second mile, third mile, I'm running down the boardwalk, and I've noticed that as I've gotten older that my pace has changed. And I've noticed, particularly this morning, that there are people passing me more than they used to pass me, right? And I was the one passing people, but now they're like these young men passing me and young women passing me and older men passing me and older women passing me, right? And they're passing me and I'm going by. Now, here's what I'm talking about. So I'm running along. They're passing me. Here's what Matt is going on in Matt's head, right? As I compare myself to these other runners who are passing me, I think to myself, I could take them if I wanted. You know, if I really wanted to, I could turn it up a notch and pass them if I wanted to. And I could have for like maybe 15 seconds, right? But the truth was I didn't have the stamina to sustain their pace because I was comfortable at my pace. I was comfortable right where I was. I wasn't doing anything to stretch me or to make me run faster or to try and help me build muscle or grow or build more muscle, right? I was good just where I was. And so what I did was I told myself, right? I said, self, you could do that if you wanted to. That's an aspiration. See that? That's how we deceive ourselves. We say, I could do that if I wanted to. How many people have said that about their discipleship? Have said, hey, you know, if I wanted to, I could go on that mission trip. If I wanted to, I could go serve in that ministry. If I wanted to, I could go worship God and go become more passionate as a worshiper. If I wanted to, I could turn it up when I want to, right? Right? The problem is we never do it. Growth happens when we actually do it, practice it, put it into practice, and stretch ourselves and get uncomfortable. We have to get uncomfortable. You know, when I'm running, if I'm going to build stamina, if I'm going to build muscle, I've got to make myself uncomfortable to do that. So that's one thing. Now, let's go to mile 4 in Matt's run. More people are now passing me at a faster rate than they were before because I'm slowing down. And another thought pops in Matt's head, and I say to myself, self, they're not going through what you're going through. You're running 5 miles. They're probably only running 2 miles, right? They got it easy. You got it hard. Anybody ever said that? Nobody understands my place, right? They're not running 5 miles like I am. They're running 2 miles. They got it easy, right? It's easier for them to go fast, right? And sometimes we look at other disciples and say, well, it's easy for them to be a disciple. Look at their life. They got it easy. Really? Do you really know everything about them? Do you really know everything they're going through? No, you don't. The point is not to compare ourselves. Again, that's self-deception, right? To say, somebody's got it easier than I've got it, and so that's why I'm not growing or growing anywhere, right? So what we need to do is stop the comparison game, first of all, and start saying, God, what can I do to grow in my circumstances? In my 5-mile run, where can I stretch myself? I don't care if they're doing 2-mile run, 10-mile run. They could have been doing a 10-mile run. Who knows? It's not the point. So what am I doing to grow my faith? What am I doing to run my race of faith? And how am I growing in that? How do I deceive myself from actually growing? What are the things I tell myself that keep me from growing and building up the faith, right? That's the key. Now, you want some good news with all this? The good news is that whatever, God is with us. And what Paul says, that in the midst of all this, not only do you root yourself in Christ and continue building yourself up in Christ, but he says, do it all abounding in thanksgiving. Be thankful because God is working in you and through you. And God's greatest desire for you is to grow in your faith and grow in your discipleship. God is saying, be thankful. And this is the good news part, is if you don't grow, God doesn't give up on you. If you sat there and said, I don't want to grow, God still hasn't given up on you. God will come along, kick you in the butt, don't worry. God will pull you away from that donut shop. In fact, maybe that's why they were running faster. They were eating donuts. I didn't think, you know. But what the point is that God will not abandon you. And even if you try to grow and you don't succeed or you fail or you stumble, guess what? God's going to pick you back up again and get you going again. God's not going to abandon you. God's not going to give up on you. And in fact, sometimes we grow best when we fail. Sometimes God grows us the best when we make a mistake, right? Because that's where we get our experience, right? We try something and we fail, but we grow from it. And that's the thing with discipleship. You have to just try something. You have to take a step. And don't worry about whether you're going to fail or succeed. Just try the step and see what God does. And see what God teaches you. So what's your next step of discipleship today? What's your next step? Think about it. What is God saying to you today to say, hey, I want to grow you in this area? I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to grow and do this. What would push you out of your comfort zone? What would stretch your spiritual muscles to grow and to build your faith? Let's pray together. God, thank you for being our God, for rooting us in Christ, and that when our roots sink deep into the grace and love of Jesus Christ, we know you are there. You will sustain us, and no matter what winds blow in our life, we will stay rooted and firm in you. Thank you for your grace and love in Christ that calls us into relationship with you. And God, we also want to grow our faith. We want to grow as disciples. And so God, help us to see what our next faithful step is. Not to be completely mature in this moment, but just what's the next faithful step I need to take right now to be a disciple, to grow, to stretch, to be a little bit uncomfortable so that I might grow in my discipleship, might grow in my faith. Where do I need to stretch myself? Where do you need to stretch yourself today? And know that the God who is with you will help you. The God who runs beside you this race of discipleship is right there with you, encouraging you, supporting you, challenging you, All that you need is there in Christ and in God. So give that step to God. Commit that step to God and be thankful for the ways that God is going to grow you today. Amen.